You remember a couple weeks ago I started a five-part series. And what initiated that was the upper room bombshell that Jesus dropped on his disciples in the upper room. For if you read carefully John 13:33, he said to them, "I am leaving you." Now please, because you've read that so many times before, don't miss the emotion of that announcement. For the disciples were not ready for that. And on top of it, in a very short matter of hours, he would be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, humiliated till the early morning of the hours on Friday, and crucified in front of them. And so as we set the stage for part two, I want you to be reminded that what Jesus said after the bombshell was dropped must be very important. Wouldn't you agree with me? For you see, he had to prepare the disciples for what was going to shortly happen next. And so the first thing we discovered after Jesus dropped the bombshell was the last words of Christ. Part one was the love, that love suffers long. And here's what we discovered. We discovered in John 13:34, right after he dropped the bombshell, he said that you love one another. And also in the same verse, he then repeated that you also love one another. And then in verse 35, he said, which is two verses after the bombshell, if you have love for one another. And then in John 15:12, that you love one another. And then finally in John 15:17, that you love one another. You know what? I think he's trying to tell us we need to love one another. And I wonder how we're doing at that. You know, love one another means you overlook faults, shortcomings, differences, even abuses. But now we move on to part two. And part two is simply called ask. Will you bow your heads with me as I pray? Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment and pray that in the remaining moments of our church service, that you would anoint me from on high to give the words and the thoughts that you have ordained, that when everything is said and done, we will have seen and heard Jesus. Father, I ask for the peace of heaven to descend on this congregation so that we don't miss anything of your last words. So blessed to this end. And thank you for hearing this prayer because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to introduce you to Sir George Adam Smith. He was a Scottish theologian, preacher, and teacher. Sir George Adam Smith tells how he and his guide were climbing the Weisshorn in the Swiss Alps, one of the most beautiful mountains in the Alps, 14,783 feet tall. It was stormy and they were making their climb on the sheltered side of the peak And when they reached the summit, they were filled with exhilaration. And Sir George forgot about the fierce gale winds on the other side. And he leaped up and was nearly blown off the cliff, except for the guide grabbed him by the backpack on his back. As they both fell to the ground, the guide whispered in Adam's ear. He said, "On your knees, sir, you are only safe here on your knees." And I want you to know that Jesus agrees with that statement. And we are only safe here, now, in the day in which we're living, on our knees. Take a look at what the Bible tells us. For there are other words that Jesus repeated besides love one another. So we look at John 14:13, and here's what Jesus said to the disciples. "And whatever you what? In my name, that I will do." And then in John 14:14, Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then in John 15:7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be given to you." And then, in this important, crucial time in the life of the disciples, in 15:16, Jesus said that whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give you. And then in John 16:23, he said, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." And then verse 24, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." And so as we look at these repetitive words that Jesus gave to his disciples from the upper room to Calvary's cross, we see that the second group of repetitive commands by Jesus was that we must do what? Ask. I want you to look at the qualifications here. If you ask, he said, that I will do. And then in verse 14, he said, if you ask anything in my name, it shall be done for you. In 7, he said, you ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. In 15:16, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. In John 16:23, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. In John 16:24, ask and you will receive. You know, as I was reading this, I was thinking of a child, a small child. Doesn't matter what age they are, sooner or later they figure out which person to ask. Right? And if one doesn't happen to be there, they ask the other. And then when that is no, they go to the next one to get their yes. Folks, I want to impress upon us that this crucial time in Christ's life, when he had to prepare the disciples for the crisis that was impending in just hours, He said in 6 different places, ask. And so we discover, as we did with His command, you must love one another, that there must be something very necessary or essential about asking. Would you agree with me? I'm setting you up for a trap, you know. No, I'm setting us up for a trap. In fact, check this out. In John 13, Jesus also said this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will," what? "He will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Folks, God is expecting greater things from us. And if I put the two together right, this is John 14:12. I put the two together, you ask anything in my name of the Father, I will do it. And it's time we begin to ask tough things of God. And if you want to know why, 6 times He told us to do what? Ask. And remember, He told this to His disciples as He was walking to Gethsemane. They still didn't know that shortly they would see Him hanging on the cross, their hopes completely crushed. And not only that, if you don't mind, if Peter Neary was Jesus, I think I'd be more concerned about what was going to happen to me than to worry about these knucklehead 12 that were fighting amongst themselves who would be greater. But Jesus always thought of His people first. And so He crammed into a short amount of time the most important essence of Christianity in the time of crisis. We must ask. So for sure, what Jesus is telling us in this repetitive word, that asking is very necessary. It is essential. There is no question about it. Notice what the Bible also says. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Jesus is willing to do or able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or that we even, what? Think. Asking is an absolute necessary and essential part of our Christianity in this time in which we're living, for sure. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You are safe here only on your knees. And by the way, here isn't in this church. Here is this life, this time, this world, this location. We must be on our knees. Secondly, this must be very hard to do. Remember, I'm setting us up. Why do I say it must be very hard to do? It's simple to ask, isn't it? Well, then why did Jesus say it 6 times? It's like in the 4th commandment, He had to say, "Remember." And what has everybody gone and done? They forgot. He knows human nature. He was desperate to convey to them the most important elements of Christianity. First, you love one another. And then you keep asking me. push the envelope. By the way, if you ask me wrong, I'm not going to give it to you. So don't worry about that. Just ask Him. Look what the Bible says. Paul says this, and I love this. Be anxious for nothing. Because anxiety is a large part of our society today. I know personally. There are many people suffering with anxiety in this world we live because it's so high stress. Remember, Satan knows that his time is short. Therefore, he is angry with the remnant. And he is doing everything to ruin us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's what Paul says. This must be hard to do. Why? Paul had to tell that to the believers in Philippi. And I hear Jesus' voice today speaking to us. These people of mine are no different than my disciples. And then the setup. How's your prayer life? I mean, I'm serious. How's your prayer life? 6 times on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross of Calvary, he told them to ask, in my name, ask the Father, and then said to us, we will do it. How's your prayer life? Do you spend time in prayer every day? Do you now see that no matter what your excuse may be, it's not good enough if you're not praying? Let me show you. I just arbitrarily picked 4 categories of prayer. There might be 5. Maybe you think of 6. I don't know. But I see this. First, family prayer. Family prayer needs to be prayed. What's family prayer? Your morning and evening devotions, fathers with your wife and children, single parent with your children. Before your child leaves that house, they should hear their name lifted up to God by you in blessing and protection every single day. Not just meal times, folks. I want to tell you what God did. And I don't know why He did it. He spoke to me a long time ago when Jenny was pregnant with Roland, our firstborn. And the minute I found out she was pregnant, I put my hand on her tummy, and every night I prayed for that child out loud in the tummy. And then when Roland was born, every night I went into his room. I knelt down by his crib and I prayed for my son. Now, every night means this as a Seventh-day Adventist minister. Sometimes it was 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, but I did it. Sometimes I was dog tired. And I felt so good about what I was doing. And I just was told to do it. When Sam came along, now I had 2 cribs to pray by. I didn't pray by one and cover the other. I knelt by both of them. Every night I prayed for my boys. No matter what the time was that I got home, even after a crisis in the hospital at 3 in the morning. I thank God for telling me that, because I'll tell you this about my 2 boys. They married two of the best girls in the world, and you can't ask for anything better than that. Now I just feel bad for the girls. And then, folks, there's corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is important. Corporate prayer is church prayer, prayer meeting, board meeting, etc. We pray. And by the way, in a second, I'm going to tell you that Ellen White clearly states that anywhere that prayer is being offered, we should be there. How many times we have prayer activities in this church and very few people come? But I'm going to keep doing it even if one comes. Why? Because six times from the upper room to Calvary, Jesus said, ask. There's corporate prayer. Then there's intercessory prayer. That's praying with or for others. You know, on Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, and at 6:30, we pray for other people, including many of you who are sitting in the audience. Your name is on the list that we pray over. We've got to lift each other up before God and support each other. And so intercessory prayer is important. By the way, how neat it would be. I want to be part of a church that when you go to work and a friend says, man, you say, what's the matter with you? Oh, you know, my wife is threatening to leave me. And I want to be part of a church where that person looks around and says, can I pray with you right now? And lift them up before the Lord. I remember I was getting off an airplane. I was on an airplane with a lady, a very refined lady sitting next to me. I don't remember much about it except that her life was a mess. And we got off of the plane and the Lord said, Peter, don't let her go without praying with her. And we're already off the plane. And so I saw her hovering in the crowd close to baggage. I went over to her and behind her I saw a little alcove, just a little one. And I said, can I pray with you? I prayed for that woman a very short but personal prayer for her position and condition. And when I opened my eyes, her mascara was running everywhere. Now, I'm the pastor, okay? And you expect that from me. But you want to know something? If they're your friend, then you're the one who God wants to do it. Not me. But by the way, I'll come and do it if you don't. Seventh-day Adventists pray with people. They don't pound the Sabbath in their head. They say, what's your need? I want to pray for you. And after we get doing that, people are going to say, by the way, why do you go to church on Sabbath? Hot doggies. Intercessory prayer. But then, folks, there is secret prayer. Secret prayer. I call it closet prayer. Do you know that Jesus mentioned closet prayer in the Mount of Blessings? He said, but you, when you pray, turn your cell phone off. Leave it in the other room. Go into your closet, shut the door, and pray. Spend time with me. And if special things are to be done by us in the last days, then that means when we ask God for these promises and favors, He will do it. Amen? Our God is good. How is your prayer life? Oh, that's very interesting. There. Steps to Christ 89. We should pray in the family circle. And above all, we must not neglect secret prayer. Listen what she says. For this is the life of the soul. You know what that means? This is the life of the person. Meaning you eat and you drink, but you also must pray. The spiritual life absolutely depends upon it. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse where the treasures of boundless resources of omnipotence? Can you beat those superlatives? The key in the hand of faith that unlocks heaven's storehouse. How would you like to have that key? You do. It's prayer. You know, I'm almost done here, but I want to say this about that. I desperately want to pray with you tonight and your children. I want to do what the Bible says. Jacob put his hands on the head of each child and individually prayed for them by name. Don't you understand? Your child is going to war when he goes to school. And we need to put a hedge about them, and you can only do that in prayer. And we want to illustrate. The elders want to do this for you to illustrate. We know this is important, and you now can do the same thing without us elders. Pray. So I show you this picture. When you pray, this is what's happening. I want you to put this in your mind so that every time you pray, you will picture this, for this is what's happening when you pray. Peter's prayers are presented personally to the Father by Jesus Christ Himself. Folks, what trial are you facing? What crisis is in your life? What challenges do you have? What temptations are verily overcoming you? I want you to know, go to God in prayer. And all of us are involved in those very things I just said. But sometimes some of us get more crucial than others. And that's when we need to pray for you. And when you're healed or the situation is repaired, then you need to come join us to pray for others who are in crisis. Why? Because 6 times Jesus said, ask in my name, the Father, and I will do it. He will present your prayers to the Father personally. Steps of Christ said, seek every opportunity to go where prayer is wont to be made. That's the old English word for custom, habit, or practice. I want to introduce you to Dr. Helen Rosevere, 20-year missionary in Zaire, and she tells this true story, folks. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children of the mission to pray for the baby and for the baby's sister. The mother just died. One of the girls responded, dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because then the baby will be dead. Oh, dear Lord, send a doll for this sister so she won't feel so lonely. That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as Dr. Helen opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, "If God sent that, I'm sure He sent the doll." And she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance that the child about the child's sincere request, before you call, I will answer. And 5 months earlier, He led the women's group in England to include both of those specific articles in that package. Folk, ask. God wants us to ask. Father, I want to pray for each and every person in the auditorium today that they would realize that every day You're waiting to hear from us. And when we are too overwrought, busy, stressed, whatever, and miss, You are disappointed. Lord, You experience all the evil in this world. Teach us to be more faithful so we won't disappoint You. So bless each one, Father, and now give them courage to pray with each other so that we can continue this commitment till Jesus comes, whether it's morning, noon, or night. So bless each one to this end in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.